Hey, good morning. We're gonna go through kind of really simply this through the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm just gonna lead you on a journey, basically, and we're gonna just kind of like in his steps, and we're just gonna walk the day that Jesus walked throughout his journey that'll lead us to Good Friday. And remember, there's no EMP on Friday, so we just want you to come together as a family at a service. So let's go to Matthew chapter 21. So let me draw the scenario first a bit. The first thing that happens is really simply Palm Sunday. That was yesterday that takes place. And so this what we call the triumphal entry, you can read, it's actually in most of the Gospels, Matthew 21, Mark 11, Luke 19, even a little bit in John 12. And so this will be when Jesus comes in, he sits on a colt, you'll know that they throw palms at the floor, not the floor, at the ground, as Jesus begins to, in his procession. And so the church in the early days, what they used to do is they would take those palms, and not those palms, but they would take palms and they would actually make things with it. And they would hang it on the, they'd basically make it into a cross and somehow just take the palms and do their thing. I don't know how they do it, but they did it. And they would make a cross and it would hang there. It would hang there for the whole year. The cross they made the year before, they would take off and they would burn it. And it would create ashes, which goes into Wednesday. That's why it's called Ash Wednesday. And so it's kind of a tradition, especially in, I think it's more in the Russian Orthodox and the Greek Orthodox Church begin to do that. And so that's the triumphal entry leading into this day. So that night, he goes to Bethany, so he's hanging out with his buddies. In the morning, he leaves Bethany, and he's on his way back to Jerusalem. It's a pretty close journey. Okay, so let's pick up the story. We'll read in from Matthew 21, but like I said, there's other passages there too. So Matthew 21, we're going to read from verse 12. And it says, "And Jesus entered the temple and cast out all those who were buying and selling in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he said to them, 'It is written, my house should be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a robber's den.' And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done and the children who were crying out, out in the temple saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David,' they became indignant and said to him, 'Do you hear what these are saying?' And Jesus said to them, 'Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babes, thou hast prepared praise for thyself?' And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Now in the morning, when he returned to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said to it, 'No longer shall there be any fruit from you.' For at once the fig tree withered. And seeing this, disciples marveled, saying, 'How did the fig tree wither at once?' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, and you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive.'" Okay, now turn to Luke. Luke chapter 19. So now we'll pick up from verse 41. So the triumphal entry happens. I actually read a little earlier in the other passage. So we're going to hit at 41. "And when he approached, he saw the city and wept over it, and saying, 'If you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have become hidden from your eyes. For the day shall come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank before you and surround you and hem you in on every side and will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another because you did not recognize the time of your visitation.' And he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were selling, saying to them, 'It is written, in my house should be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den.' And he was teaching daily in the temple, but the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men among the people were trying to destroy him. They could not find anything that they might do, for all the people were hanging upon his words. Now turn to Mark 11. Again, the triumphal entry happens. So we go pick up from verse 12. So he's in Bethany. So now, next day, when he had departed from Bethany, he became hungry. And seeing at a distance a fig tree and leaf, he went to see if perhaps he would not find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And he answered and said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples were listening. They came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to cast out those who were buying and selling in the temple, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who were selling doves. And he would not permit anyone to carry goods to the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, "Is it not written, 'My house should be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a robber's den?" And the chief priests and the scribes heard this and began seeking how to destroy him, for they were afraid of him, for all the multitude was astonished at his teaching. And when that evening came, they would go out of the city. And as we're passing by the morning, okay, we'll stop there. All right, so kind of drawing the scenario that's happening here in this place. So just a simple idea of the day. So he spends the night in Bethany. In the morning, he leaves Bethany. He's on his way to Jerusalem. As he overlooks the city of Jerusalem, he weeps over the city. Then in the morning, he passes by the fig tree, and he curses the fig tree leaves Bethany, curses the fig tree on the way to the city, weeps over the city, cleanses the temple, and then late in the day, he looks back into the temple, and then leaves the city and goes back and spends the night in Bethany. And so this is all that's happening. Let me just draw a few points, and I'll just make a conclusion at the end, because each of the categorized each of these days as a day of something. Today, I just give ahead, today is a day of worship. And so what I want you to do is today, focus yourselves on worshiping the Lord. Other day will be a day of repentance. Other day is a day of solitude. Other day, actually tomorrow is the day of the word. And so just want you to really absorb yourself in the things of the Lord as we lead in. And so let me just describe what's happening here. The first part, and I'm just going to use all of these, I'm going to mix them all together and just run through a narrative, okay? So he leaves Bethany, he goes in and he sees a fig tree. Now, the fig tree is fairly important to us, and don't get so caught up in the whole cursing part, but the fig tree to the Jews, especially the disciples, remember they said they overheard, they were listening quite intently. Throughout the history of the Jews, the fig tree represented the nation of Israel. I'll give you a few verses that you can look up in your free time. Jeremiah chapter 8:13, Hosea chapter 9:10. In fact, Jeremiah says it really plainly that when God, he will lift himself off of the nation, particularly for the sins of Judah, and he says, "And they will bear no figs on the tree, only leaves." And so generally speaking, now it's not all the time, but generally speaking, figs, the way they grow, when the leaves grow, the figs grow. And so he goes to this tree and all he sees leaves, but there's no figs. And so he's basically, whatever happened, the tree was handicapped. I can say that word, right? Handicapped? I think that's okay. So people are trying to teach me to be PC these days, so I always get confused. I know I'm not supposed to say the other word. I know that for sure. But it's disabled, right? Is it? Oh, disability. Okay. So not handicapped. The tree was disabled. Okay. Is that right? What? Differently abled. Oh, that's a whole nother way. Differently abled. Wow, that's crazy. Thanks, Max. So the tree was differently abled, able to carry leaves but no figs, and so he curses the tree. And the timing of it's important. I don't want you, again, don't get so caught up in the cursing part, right? But what Jesus is doing, he's making a statement of what is actually happening. That the nation of Israel is not bearing fruit. They have the appearance. You look from a distance, you see the leaves. There's an appearance of religion. There's an appearance of godliness. There's just no fruit as a result. And then you can understand, next thing you know, so think about this. He sees the fig tree. There's no fruit on the tree. Tree's there. There's leaves. No fruit. Then he walks over to the city, and what does he do? He weeps over the city. So he's not, Jesus is not, you know, oh, curse you guys. No, man, he's so compassionate. He sees the tree. Oh, there's no fruit. They hold to a form of religion without the power thereof. And then he goes and he looks over the city. And Jerusalem, you know, is again, in the mind of the Jews, it represented their identity. That was the holy city. And he weeps over the people. Then he comes into the temple, and he starts kicking out all these money changers and whatnot. People selling doves, and you know, they even wouldn't permit people to go in and whatnot. Let me draw this scenario. I'm sure if you've been around, you've heard me teach on this before. This actually, that passage is really, really important to us as a church, because that's where we get our name from, actually. You know, Solomon's porch was the colonnade. This actually was the area, because remember in Mark it says, you made it around, my house should be called a house of prayer for all nations. And so what was part of the Abrahamic covenant? Remember, I'm going to bless you, you're going to be blessed, and you're going to bless the nations. Everyone will be blessed through you. That was their call as a people. But instead, they chose not to bless other people. They chose to bless themselves. And thus, there was no fruit, no figs on the tree. And so, and this is, you know, basically a foreshadowing in many ways of the gospel going to the Gentiles in that regard. So you kind of see how all these things fit. So he comes in, Solomon's porch, as pertaining to our name, the portico, there were certain gates and there were certain parts of the temple only Jews can go into this place, male, female. There was a court of the women. Solomon's porch, the colonnade, was where a lot of people can hang out. In fact, that was a place where the foreigners can come and at least get a glimpse, at least hear the teaching and whatnot. They couldn't enter in, but they could be hanging out in this area. And now these guys had taken that area and started selling merchandise. And so now the merchandise itself was faulty. According to the Jewish custom, when people would come in to the city, remember they were meant to come once a year, and it was during this time, during the feasts, and once a year, and they were to make an offering to the Lord, very very particular offerings, actually many different kinds, and so they begin to kind of modernize the system. Because people would come in and they couldn't carry all their grain and, you know, their sheep and all that stuff for the different offerings. And so they would bring money, basically. And they would trade and they would buy whatever they needed for the offerings there. And these traders, and in cooperation with the Sanhedrin that were running the temple, they would just totally rip people off. Have you ever traveled to a foreign country and received the tourist tax? You know what I mean? That was what was happening, but they were doing it to their own people. And the people came to worship him. They came to sacrifice once a year as a devout Jew, as a devout Hebrew. And the religious leaders, they made worshiping God an obstacle. They made worshiping God difficult. And so on top of that, they would bring offering, and so they had money. And so think about this. They would get messed over two different ways. One is they set a rule, the leaders set a rule that you can only, if you wanted to give money, you can only give it in that currency there, through the drachma, whatever the currency. And so they had to change the currency into Roman currency, and so huge exorbitant fees. So they're getting messed up there. And then they would buy the the lambs and whatnot. They'd actually, what they would do, the historians say, they would come and they would bring, let's say they would bring their turtle dove, and they would bring it to sacrifice. So you know, if you're going to come to the temple once a year and you're going to offer a spotless animal, they're going to pick the most spotless animal they own. They would bring it to the temple, and the leaders would say, no, that's not good enough, and force them to buy their stock. And you know what they did? They just probably, you know, took their turtle dove, you know, went out the back door and came out the front door, and they probably sold it to somebody else. I mean, these guys were good businessmen, you know, or I should say not good businessmen, but ruthless and corrupt businessmen. And this is the thing that was happening. Now, so Jesus, when he's speaking to them, and you can see, you know, other passage says, the zeal for my Father's house has consumed me. And, I mean, he's just ripping tables. He's, you know, if you ever see, the painting, you know, Jesus cleansing the temple. This is a beautiful painting. You know, it's Caravaggio or one of the guys, and he's got like, you know, he's got a whip in one hand, and I mean, it's really quite one of the most masculine pictures of Jesus that's out there. You know, usually he's like some faint elf, you know, kind of individual, you know, but this time, man, he's like, you know, finally carpenter's son, right? And he's doing all these things, and so he's such anger burns in him, not just the injustice of being ripped off financially, but the injustice of, man, you are creating obstacles for people to worship their God. And the anger, the zeal of the Lord burns in him over that fact, that simple fact. How can you, as religious leaders, create obstacles for people to come and worship their God? Remember other passages, Jesus brings children to him, and he's talking to leaders. He says, and you make one of these stumble. Now, he wasn't just talking about children. He's talking about all of his people. You make one of these stumble, better than a millstone be hung around your neck and you buried into the deepest sea. I mean, that's how fierce. And obviously Jesus was really referring to the law, not the law of Moses, but the man-made law that's been erected that's really creating obstacles for people to come to the Lord in true worship. So they could worship, it is said in John 4, in spirit and in truth. And anything that gets in the way of people worshiping the Lord, God will go to war for. Don't be mistaken. Anytime, leader, myself, any others, when we create a barrier, we create an obstacle for people to come to the Lord, man, you know, woe on us in that regard. And that's the whole thing. I don't want to talk about, you know, a whole school of thought or whatnot, but a lot of it was really the central idea and really the pain in Luther when he began to see the gospel, the way that the church at that time was running it, and you know, all the indulgences and, you know, purgatory and just the works and so many horrible things that the church at that time was doing. And he was so drawn to the quick, and he said, no, that's not the way. No, you don't make a path. Don't create obstacles for people to worship God. It doesn't work that way. And so just the zeal of God begins to flow through him in that way. You know, anything that would get in the way of people being able to worship the Lord. And like I said, the reason why that story rings really true to me is because, like I said, that's where we get the name of our church from. And Solomon's Porch is the portico. Again, that's where the foreigners can come. That's where the visitors can come. Most likely, remember in the book of Acts, remember the Ethiopian eunuch and all that? He was in Solomon's porch. He was in the outer. He couldn't go in. He's not a Jewish person. And so they were hanging out in these areas. And this is really the redemptive mandate of the Israelites. But instead, they chose not to do that. And they chose to be exclusive instead of being inclusive. And you'll see that throughout. You'll see Jesus, the writers will make note of the blind man, the lame man. They'll make note of the paralytic. They'll make note of the woman with the flow of blood. They'll make note of the prostitute. They'll make note of all these. And we would call it outcast. Jesus didn't see it that way. And it wasn't so much that he was, you know, picking just out these kind of people and they're writing about these kind of people, but that was indicative of the people that the nation of Israel excluded themselves from. They were too dirty, they were too sinful, they were too lame, they were too blind. They didn't fit the model or the mode of what they felt was a righteous Jew, and they were excluded from the fellowship. It's no joke that the man in the book of Acts, the man at the gate beautiful, he sat at the gate beautiful. You know why? He was not allowed to come in. He's lame. He's not good enough to come into that place. And so Peter and John ministers to him. And then it's actually a beautiful passage. Then he says, and he starts walking and leaping and praising God. Remember that? That's actually a quote all the way from Isaiah. And basically, Isaiah says, when the Messiah comes, they'll be walking and leaping. And, you know, like a dove. It's the same exact words that's used. So the Jews recognize, they're saying that Jesus is the Messiah in that regard. But it's the church and it's the people of God that always went out to the people that were rejected in that regard, especially rejected by the law, rejected by the religious leaders. In other words, they created an obstacle for people to come and know and meet with their God and worship with their God. And so this day, Jesus, man, he did something that shocked people. Remember, he was known for his love, his gentleness, his humility. And he came in the temple, man, and he just tore the place up. I mean, he just tore the place up. He literally cleaned house, kicked people out. You know, they had never really seen this sign, but he saw worship in the temple of Jerusalem going bad. And he came to fix it. He knew that before he went to the cross and died, remember that's 4 years, or four days coming, he needed to take care of business. And he says, and my Father's house should be called a house of prayer. In other words, this is going to be the place where people come and connect with God. So simple. And you have turned it into a robber's den. You are cheating people. You're not only cheating people fiscally, but you're cheating people the opportunity to know this great and mighty God. Today, brothers and sisters, is the day of worship. Jesus Christ went to the cross so that there could be no barrier between us and the Father. Jesus died that the temple veil would be torn. Remember, from top to bottom. In other words, God... For now we have access into the Holy of Holies. Today, brothers and sisters, nothing is in your way of knowing this wonderful God. Nothing stands in your way. Jesus the Christ died for our sins. He bears in the deepest sea, remembers no more. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he removes his transgressions from us. And so there's nothing that is getting in the way for you to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords today. Amen? So let me invite Pastor Nate up. It's the day of worship. Jesus couldn't afford to have any church get distracted and caught up in questionable activities, because a church would be the one, the church alone, would be the one that has the message that can change the world. So Jesus sent a signal that day. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get distracted. Stay on target. Stay on the mission of spreading God's love. Don't create any barriers for people to know this God. And as Pastor Nate leads us in a worship, today is the day of true worship. It's a day of thanksgiving. The simple reality, real simple reality, that because of what Jesus does 4 days later on, we have access to God. Nothing stands in our way. And so let's run to the throne room of grace and receive mercy in our time of need. During this week, we're not going to do our normal prayer times and whatnot, but we just want to just kind of flow and just obey the Lord in prayer. And so today, we're just going to worship the Lord. And we're just going to ask God to just come and speak to us in our worship. And nothing stands in your way. And so I asked Nate to do a few songs today, and then I'll come back and I'll pray. And then you can just continue on in your worship the rest of this day today.
Sing all the saints and angels.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and say, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing all the saints.
All the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing, you are worthy. You are worthy of it all, Jesus. From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all. Oh, you are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Incense represents prayer in this
day and night, night and day. Let incense arise, day and night, night and day. Let incense arise, day and night, night and day. Let incense arise, day and night, night and day. Let incense arise, day and night, night and day. Let incense arise, day and night, night and day. You are worthy of.
You are worthy of it all, Jesus, for from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all, Jesus. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. Sing that again. We fall down. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is a land.
We fall down.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. Is a lamb.
See, we cry, holy, holy.
Father, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, that through your sacrifice that you made a way for us. That there is no obstacle, Lord, that comes before the Father because of the cross. And so, Lord, we come to you today. We want to dedicate this day as a day of worship, of true worship. God, true worshipers that worship in spirit and in truth. Knowing that there's nothing in the way, God. And so would you help us, Lord, this day to worship you. God, because that's what we were created to do. So thank you, God. We just want to give you praise, Lord, and give you thanksgiving, give you honor and all the glory that you deserve. God, may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. We love you, Lord. Just watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. The Lord be with you. We bless your spirit to connect to Holy Spirit and lead your body and soul, that today you would worship God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.